Let's read together Exodus chapter 11. In this chapter, we have the 10th and final plague on Egypt announced, the death of the firstborn. Exodus chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. And the Lord said to Moses, I will bring one more plague on Pharaoh and on Egypt. Afterward, he will let you go from here. When he lets you go, he will surely drive you out of here altogether. Speak now in the hearing of the people, and let every man ask from his neighbor, and every woman from her neighbor, articles of silver and articles of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. Then Moses said, Thus says the Lord, About midnight I will go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on the throne, even to the firstborn of the female servant who is behind the handmill, and all the firstborn of the animals. Then there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as was not like it before, nor shall be like it again. But against none of the children of Israel shall a dog move its tongue, against man or beast, that you may know that the Lord does make a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. And all these your servants shall come down to me and bow down to me, saying, Get out, and all the people who follow you. After that I will go out. Then he went out from Pharaoh in great anger. But the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh will not heed you, so that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. So Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the children of Israel go out of his land. Let's consider a few background notes as we begin our study of Exodus chapter 11. In Exodus chapter 10 and verse 28, Pharaoh said to Moses, Get away from me. Take heed to yourself and see my face no more, for in the day you see my face, you shall die. And then in verse 29, the last verse of the chapter, Moses said to Pharaoh, You have spoken well. I will never see your face again. But now in chapter 11, we find Moses talking to Pharaoh once again. So did Pharaoh change his mind or Moses change his mind? Neither. Chapter 11 is a continuation of the parting words between Pharaoh and Moses. It's in verse 8 of chapter 11 that Moses departs from Pharaoh's presence in this final confrontation with Pharaoh. So verses 1 through 3 of chapter 11 are a parenthesis giving us the record of the Lord's prior conversation with Moses concerning the last plague. Now in verse 4 of chapter 11, the record of this final confrontation with Pharaoh picks up again. And then in verse 8, Moses leaves Pharaoh's court in anger. Moses' point in chapter 10, verse 29, when he said that he would never see Pharaoh's face again, was that this is your last chance, Pharaoh. This is your last chance to let God's people go. There will be no more negotiating. The time of God's patience is over. There will be no more removal of plagues. This is it. The next time you call for me, it will be to say, leave with your people, because we are leaving and we're not coming back. In fact, all of these servants of yours will beg us to leave. And then at this point, Moses left Pharaoh in anger. Verse 8 of chapter 11 once again. And all these your servants shall come down to me and bow down to me, saying, Get out, and all the people who follow you. After that I will go out. Then Moses went out from Pharaoh in great anger. Now one more background note. In verse 2 of chapter 11, the King James Version reads, Speak now in the hearing of the people, and let every man borrow from his neighbor, and every woman from her neighbor, articles of silver and articles of gold. The Hebrew word that's used here is better translated ask. There's no idea here of the Hebrews lying to the Egyptians about just borrowing these things for a time. No, the word is ask, and God had the Egyptians respond and give. Certainly the Egyptians owed the Hebrews much more than this for all their years of slave labor. We see from verse 3 that Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. Moses was not looked on by the Egyptians as some country bumpkin preacher. Moses was highly educated and very familiar with the culture of Egypt. Remember, he had been a prince in Egypt. And now with the miracles, Moses' power over the priests and sorcerers and gods of Egypt was obvious. And God used this power and prestige of Moses to win favor with the people, and they willingly gave going away gifts to the Hebrew people. All right, well, let's move then to our doctrinal teaching points for Exodus chapter 11. So doctrinal teaching point number one, God does not show favoritism when it comes to his judgment of the unbeliever. God does not show favoritism when it comes to his judgment of the unbeliever. Verses 4 and 5 once again. Then Moses said, "Thus says the Lord, about midnight I will go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on his throne, even to the firstborn of the female servant who is behind the handmill." In the 10th and final plague of God's judgment on Egypt, there was the death of the firstborn of every family. Notice that there was no favoritism shown in this judgment on the pagan Egyptians. It made no difference as to whether they were rich or poor, slave or free, of the royal family or a commoner. They all came under this judgment of death. The teaching here is obvious. The Lord does not show favoritism when it comes to his judgment of the unbeliever. It was true of God's judgment on the pagan Egyptians. It is true of God's judgment of the unbeliever today. Romans chapter 3, well-known scripture, right? Romans chapter 3, verses 22 and 23 says, "For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." You know, some people today think that they can win favor with God because of their social status or education or even wealth. No, I'm so sorry. When it comes to the judgment of God upon sinners, there is no leniency shown to the socially elite or highly educated or rich. If anything, God's judgment is even greater upon these unbelievers because of all their opportunities to come to know the truth and repent. And there is only one way of salvation for all unbelievers, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 3 and verse 36 says, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." Notice that there is no distinction of persons here. All unbelievers are under the wrath of God directed against sin. God does not show favoritism when it comes to his judgment of the unbeliever. Doctrinal point number two, God does show favoritism when it comes to his care of the believer. God does show favoritism when it comes to his care of the believer. Verses 6 and 7, once again. "Then there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as was not like it before, nor shall be like it again, but against none of the children of Israel shall a dog move its tongue, against man or beast, that you may know that the Lord does make a difference between the Egyptians and Israel." And what a difference! A great wailing for the Egyptians, a great peace for the Hebrews. Not even the barking of a dog. All was at peace. Why the difference? The children of Israel were God's people. They were his family. The Lord was taking care of his people. We see from verses 2 and 3 that the Lord also took care of his people by providing for their material needs and even giving them favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Look there, verses 2 and 3 again. "Speak now in the hearing of the people, and let every man ask from his neighbor, and every woman from her neighbor, articles of silver and articles of gold, And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. The Lord was taking care of his people. You know, the same is true today. The Lord takes care of his own. God does show favoritism when it comes to the care of the believer. We learn from the next chapter, Exodus chapter 12, that the reason the angel of death passed over the children of Israel was not because they were nicer people than the Egyptians or because they were only poor slaves, but because they believed God and applied the blood of the Passover lamb to their homes. As believers, God cared for them and provided for them. And he does the same for the believer today. 1 Peter 5:7 says he cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7. Deuteronomy 33, verse 12. The beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, who shelters him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. Deuteronomy 33, 12. Can you think of a greater place of care for the believer than between the shoulders of the Almighty God? Psalm 91, verse 4. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. Psalm 91, 4. And Matthew 6, 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things. What things? All of your basic needs. All of these things will be added unto you. The Lord protects and provides and cares for his people. God does show favoritism when it comes to his care of the believer. Practical application from Exodus chapter 11. Let's follow God's example of showing favoritism. Let's follow God's example of showing favoritism. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10 we read, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. We know that as Christians, we have a responsibility to do what we can to meet the needs around us. But we see from this verse, Galatians 6:10, that we are to show favoritism to our fellow believers who are in need. Galatians 6:10 once again. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Just as God showed favoritism when it came to caring for the needs of his people, as opposed to the Egyptians, so we should make the needs of our brothers and sisters in Christ a top priority in meeting needs. Well, how are we doing? Now, this does not mean that you don't care for the needs in your community and care for the needs of your alma mater, etc., etc. But as we see fellow believers that have needs, both in our fellowships and around the world, we should be moved to put them higher on our care list. Let's follow God's example of showing favoritism.